More of Lake Effect Now, I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Milwaukee and Joanna Paleman has been making art for 63 years, but the current retrospective, now open, only covers 50 of them. Now and Then, now on view at Redline Milwaukee, has everything from delicate pencil drawings to complete collage and assemblage works. The space on North 4th Street is an open, former manufacturing space with wide plank floors and lots of natural light.
The exhibit is divided into themes based on Paleman's artistic interests over the years. Some are reminiscent of old masters like Albrecht Dürer, while others are more in the folk art tradition. What unites them all is her artistic eye and her attention to detail. We met her at Redline one morning, and she talked about the things that have inspired her through the years.
I've always been very, very close to nature, even as a child, so I had a nice beginning to be able to observe up in the North Woods. And I had Carl Priebe as a teacher, and he used to take us to the domes to do drawings, and the zoo, and the public museum from taxidermal animals. I think that's why I collect taxidermal animals and birds, because they're easy to draw from. They don't move, and you don't have to walk them or feed them. You just have to vacuum them once in a while. But anyway, it's a wonderful way to draw, and I always taught my students to draw from life.
Yeah, there is so much, everything from turtles to to insects to, as you say, taxidermy animals. I'm seeing peacocks and ducks and various things. And these beautiful, over here in this section, these beautiful, very delicate pencil drawings.
That's how I started.
Was doing that. Let's look a couple of those. Start at the beginning here. And one of the ones that caught my eye was this beautiful rendering of the turtle shell.
Well, I collected some of the freeze-dried turtles because they have them for sale at some of the antique shows and sales that I go to. But I thought nobody sees the bottom carapace. So I used both the actual turtle mounted in one side of the book spread, and then I drew his underside on the other. And it's called Turn Turtle. I used titles in my work quite a bit. The lowest form of poetry is the pun, and you'll see a lot of puns in this show, but they're fun too, and that's a challenge to title the thing, the works.
Yeah, and you're right, most of us don't see that underbelly, and that's just a wonderful thing. I think that art can do in general is to find the underside of things.
There you go,
sure. And one of the things I love about your work and this retrospective of work is that you've got things like the drawings that are, you know, pencil on paper, but you also have these assemblages, you have black boxes, you have these wonderful stamps here that sort of create, they're almost sculptural as well.
Well, that's I think what happened is the titles and the drawings told me that you can do a book then, because you have both text and pictorials. So I started collecting stamps when I was about 24, you know, 3 years ago. They turned into a multitude of books that I do. And I'm using both then, the words and the pictures together. It was just a natural morphing.
There's also a wonderful piece that when you first come in of pencils. It's the pencil box.
Pencil museums.
Yeah.
Well, I've been lucky to be able to travel on Barbara Brown's docent trips to Europe so many times, and picked up all kinds of pencils from the museums. So I thought, oh, I'll make my own. And they're all engraved with the museum's name onto them. And now people are starting to go on trips and bringing me pencils so I can make some more boxes. So it's been a lovely trip.
Yeah, I imagine it is, because it's great because you look at it and you think, well, of course, pencils, museums, art.
Yeah, all mixed together.
As you've been making art over these many, many years, what has changed for you in your practice, if anything?
Well, it's changed because I had 15 years ago, I stopped teaching, and I also stopped doing so much commercial work to keep the wolf from the door, and I've been able to concentrate more now on the fine art, and it's just sort of blooming, and I don't know when to stop. when I get on a roll, then I can hardly wait to get up in the morning to finish a project or to start one. And it's just lovely, a lovely time for me.
So it sounds like not having to make a living at it frees you in a way.
It does. Mm-hmm. It's a comfortable, lovely way to be.
So what have you found in these last 15 years that really is enticing you and exciting you as an artist?
Well, everything God made is out there waiting for me to draw. My problem is not having enough time left to do everything. But I do the best I can.
Anything in particular that you've been focusing on in the last few years that might be different from things that you were doing earlier?
Well, the boxes, I think, are the most recent, and they're very, very much fun and challenging. There's some seed catalogs that have actual vials filled with the seeds that I'm illustrating or whatever. I'm always kind of waiting for the next idea to come to be able to develop.
Do you still go up to the North Woods to work?
Door County. Mm-hmm. And that's where all the frogs and toads and snails and snakes that I'm drawing come from. Without it, I wouldn't have had that access. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything over here that I'm seeing something on the wall here? You're talking about boxes, mm-hmm. and this reliquary,
yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Is this more recent, or is this?
This is one of the latest things that I've done. Mm-hmm. I just find these critters, and there some of them are preserved. I get those at garage sales, too. You find the weirdest things to keep, and I never know where I'm going to put them until an idea hits, and this was a perfect way to expose them to the world. I liked everybody to see what they look like.
And then right below it, we have this wonderful collection of seashells,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which I love mm-hmm. as well.
Well, I have a sister in Florida, and she'll send me something odd once in a while. And a lot of these things appear in my work. Now, this is a box filled with drawings, and it's a book. It's been in many bookshelves. It's got a cover, and then the shells are in the top of under the cover, so they speak to each other.
So, we're in the drawer. We're looking mm-hmm. actually at the drawings, of the shells.
Of the shells. Uh-huh.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. uh-huh.
This is fun to find a box like this. It was an old cash register.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we have another pencil uh-huh. museum. Mm-hmm. And this is what you were talking about, the jars of things.
Yeah, the little felt vials that I get at American Science and Surplus. They're all different sizes, and they all have corks and things, so I can fill them full. This is called 22 Twigs from the Tuileries. It's one of my trips to France. And I just filled them with the little twigs that I picked up. I pick up things everywhere I am and put them in Ziploc bags and hope they'll find a way into my work eventually.
Do you ever have trouble coming through customs, or do they just not ask?
Well, I usually hide them in my sketchbook, and they know they don't care about that so much.
No. Mm-hmm. You also have a collection of leaves.
Well, those are from my drop leaf table series. I collect these little tables and then just pile the leaves on top and under them. And it goes with my tables of contents series. So,
I have to say, one of the things I love about your work is that it's so varied.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with the basis of drawing, and you've got the most incredible technique of rendering, say, the pears over here, or the toads and frogs over
mm-hmm.
there. But then we move into three-dimensional, and we move mm-hmm. into objects, and all mm-hmm. of these things talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I hope they have a conversation. mm-hmm. And I'm giving homage to the old masters with the reproductions I use, too. With the like the snail, is a beautiful snail that I found in Milan, the postcard, and then I put my little drawings of snails underneath it just to complement it, and they speak to one another.
Yeah, you've got Starry Night down here.
Mm-hmm. That's a Van Gogh with the Luna moth, and of course you have the moon moth and all the stars in his beautiful painting,
and of course the colors talk to
mm-hmm,
each other.
Mm-hmm.
Too.
Yeah. Yes, uh huh. Color is very important.
It is. Uh-huh. And that's the other thing that, you know, it's hard to get across on radio, how colorful everything is, but mm-hmm. not necessarily in bright colors.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the colors of nature.
Yeah, kind of quiet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But incredibly varied and incredibly detailed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And lots of different shadings, lots of different...
Yeah.
subtleties, that's the word.
Well, God gave me good eyes, and I see so much in detail, and I just feel guilty if I don't put it down for other people to see what I'm seeing. So that's part of the fun of it. Mm-hmm.
In the time that you've been working, how have you seen the art world change? Have people responded to your work? Do they respond to your work differently now than they did even 20 years ago?
Oh, my. Well, it keeps people keep discovering me. It's funny, but it has grown through the years. But the people that were interested in the early works are still interested in what I'm doing now, so they kind of grew with me. That was kind of fun to know,
which
too.
Is nice.
Yes, it's lovely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there a piece that you particularly want to talk about that we're here? I mean, you had this is wonderful big gallery where it works, so there's lots of things to look at.
Great gallery. I always was interested in what I'm drawing that I don't know about. Like, I wondered when I was drawing the eggs, how come they're all differently spotted and splotched and different colored little speckles on them. And so I did my research and found that when a bird lays an egg, when it comes down through the aqueduct, there's little pores on the inside, and they eject different colored inks on the eggs as they descend through the little opening. Each bird lays different kinds of patterns on their eggs. It's hard to explain.
So would one bird have the same pattern for all of its eggs?
Well, okay. Same colors and
same
patterns.
Colors, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But they're all different.
And so depending on species and mm-hmm. also within species.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
mm-hmm.
this is a beautiful, again, another conversation between the drawings of the eggs and mm-hmm. all the beautiful subtle palette, color palette, and then the actual
mm-hmm.
eggs.
The quail eggs.
Quail uh-huh. eggs in a box. Yeah. And you can see what you're talking
mm-hmm.
about, the
uh-huh.
incredible detail uh-huh. and splashes of mm-hmm. color,
mm-hmm.
but again, subtle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that helps birds remember that it's their eggs.
Oh, I'm certain it would, wouldn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
The camouflage.
And how wonderful that science and art mm-hmm. are talking to each other in this case.
Oh, heavens yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one other thing that caught my eye over here. It's another collection of boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And
there's some more pencil museums, and there's some seed catalogs in this section.
And some other beautiful books.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the tulips. I did a whole section on tulips. This is called 12 Tulips. It's a screen book. It folds out. It can be a screen or book. And the other is the little bugs and blooms, which each has an insect on them talking to each other, so it's a little kind of lighthearted.
The actual conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But the tulips are incredibly beautiful. And then you've got little critters
eggs.
Each
one has a different kind of little nature form connected to it or on it or whatever.
So is that part of your mission, is to kind of bring the woods to people, bring nature to people?
Yeah, because people they're deprived a little these days. They sit in front of the computers or they don't have time. Time is so precious, and you can't get out into the woods too often. It's healthy to do that.
Oh, I think
refresh
so.
Your whole interior.
Well, and remember that you're part of it, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is an amazing 50-year retrospective of your work. You're not done yet. What are you working on now?
I'm working on a lot of commissions that I received on the opening night. It's going to take me about 6 months to do everything, and then I will decide what's next.
At that point, hopefully yes. something will pop up that interests you. Yeah.
I'm so fortunate to have this beautiful space. I just couldn't believe it when I saw how they hung everything so diligently and beautifully. We had help from my ed students and a wonderful exhibition director. He was wonderful. So.
It is a great space. We're standing in Red Line, and mm-hmm. You feel the work has room to breathe,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but you can also get right up close mm-hmm. to it.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. and it feels of a piece, but also you can find the little sections and little corners,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
kind of like being in the woods.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Joanna, it has been such a pleasure meeting you and talking with you here. Best of luck, and I can't wait to see what you come up with next.
You and I both.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to let us know.
I will.
All
definitely.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Artist Joanna Paleman recorded on-site at Redline, Milwaukee. Her show Now and Then, a 50-year career retrospective, is on display through March 21st.
One last break and then some music from a trio featuring two Minnesotans and a Milwaukeean. That's when Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio.